Morning.
Morning.
We only got two more weeks of me. So we're coming to a close on this lesson.
Which to me has been a true blessing, because the more I studied it, the more things have been shown to me.
I want to start off this morning like I did in Sunday school for our mothers. For those who weren't here this morning, I want you to take this into thought and consideration. You know, the Lord could have brought Christ down any way he wanted, brought him on this earth any way, but he chose a mother to do it. That means there's something special about you mothers. That even our God the Father used a mother to bring the Son of Christ to us. So, happy Mother's Day, and realize how special and wonderful y'all truly are. I got a few questions for you this morning. And it's not a question that that the apostles, the 12 disciples had to Jesus. We're at the point, Jesus trying to tell his disciples, hey, my time is coming. I'm getting ready to leave you. And the disciples are pretty much going, where are you going? So they had a few questions for Jesus. And Jesus is at that point, he's emotionally trying to push the point across. The time's running out. Y'all need to understand what I'm about to tell you, what's about to happen. So I want us to look at those questions that the disciples had at Jesus. And you'll see it in John chapter 13, the end of 13 and the beginning of 14. If y'all want to turn over to chapter 14 and hold your spot there, because we'll look at that verse, verse 1 and 2, a few times throughout this lesson. So, they asked, Jesus told them, I got to go. I got to leave you. Their questions were, where are you going, Lord? You can see that in John chapter 13, verse 36. It tells us this. Simon Peter said unto the Lord, whereas you goeth you? Jesus answered him, whereas I go, thou can't follow me now, but shall follow me afterwards. I'm leaving. You can't follow me. You can't go through what I'm going through. Thomas asked the same questions a little bit later. Thomas says to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? No, I love verse 1 of chapter 14. He tells them this. I mean, because you know, when somebody leaves you, your heart is troubled. You know, Jesus' heart was probably troubled because he had to leave his disciples. But he told them this. In verse 1 of John chapter 14, he tells them this. Do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you that. I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take me to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. He said, told him, don't worry. I'm going, but I'm going to prepare a place for you. And he said, if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm coming back to get you. You know, this got me really thinking as we're doing the study, because we're relating our life towards Christ. You know, when my time will come, and I got a story to tell you here in a little bit, but when my time comes, I'm always wondering what that would be like. You know, I've heard stories, the angels being sitting there waiting for you to carry you over. And you're not going to be by yourself. And I 100% believe that I'm not going to be by myself. But reading the scriptures, I 100% believe that Jesus will be carrying me over. when that day comes and when it's time for me to go, he said he's coming back. If it's not coming back to the end of time, and I don't see that glorious day here on earth, and if I leave before then, I truly believe that my Heavenly Father is coming after me. And that's such a comfort to realize that. And I think about the wonderful men that we had in the congregation when they met. Ray, Rick C., and there's so many more that people that left over. When we were troubled, they're going through what they were going through, but to understand and realize that Jesus was right there waiting to carry them across. And that's what he's trying to tell his disciples at this point. Don't worry, I'll be there. You know, Christ, our Heavenly Father, makes a promise. I ain't found one he ain't kept. So this one will be one that will keep with us. But he's also trying to tell them this. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. And this comes from Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. My thoughts than your thoughts. The disciples at this point are still thinking about earthly things. They're still looking for that earthly kingdom. And the Lord's trying to tell them, look, there's so much more greater thing out there that's coming. There's so much greater thing because of what's getting ready to occur that will be open up to you. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. Thank goodness. Because I don't want the Lord following after my way. He was trying to tell them that. You know, I mentioned this in lessons before, but this is where it comes from. But I really want us to take a moment to look at Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 and 9. Really talk about how this should impact us. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went. Even though he did not know where he was going, by faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in a tent, as did Isaiah and Jacob, who were inheritors with him of the same promise. Let's look at this a little bit more deeply. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go, he would later receive his inheritance. He did what? He obeyed and went. Even though he did not know where he was going. He didn't know how he had planned. He just knew whatever the mission he was doing, he needed to do it for the Lord. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in a tent. You know, we don't know how long we're going to be here on this earth. But we do know this. We're here for a purpose and a reason. This is not our home. This is not our home. And the Lord dictates how long we're here. And the Lord dictates what we need to accomplish. You know, this hit me hard this week. You know, I had one of those moments where, all right, Lord, I heard you that time. Because let me tell you a little story about me. You know, 5 years ago, I was diagnosed with cancer. And when I went into that doctor's office and the wife was with me and walked in, all right, what's the story? You know what I heard and saw from the doctor? I don't know. So what's my prognosis? I can't tell you. What do you mean you can't tell me? He says, your cancer is so rare, we don't know enough about it. So you're telling me I could go tomorrow or I could live 100 years? He says, I don't know. I can't tell you anything. Let me tell you, I've never told anybody this,
y'all were the first to hear it. My thought process from that point was I told the doctor, I probably told you this part before, I told the doctor it's about quality, not quantity for me. And I've already planned, all right, if it's time to go, it's time to go. So my life for the last 5 years is make sure my family's taken care of, make sure I'm doing everything I need to do to provide the way, because in my head, I ain't got very much longer, because if a doctor can't tell me what's going to happen, then I definitely don't know what happened. But let me tell you what happened on Monday. I walked into the doctor's office and had my scan the week prior. So he come in here and look. He says, there's no changes. All right, I've heard that before. No, you need to listen to what I'm saying. There's no changes. Here's your scan from 5 years ago. And here's your scan today. They read exactly the same. He said, 2 years prior to that, you'd already had spread and growth. You spread where it was from your adrenal gland and went to your gallbladder. That's how we found it, within 2 years. But in 5 years, you have no change. I walked out to the truck and I told the Lord, I hear you now. I've been planning for something that I don't need to plan for. I need to do the Lord's work. He says, He'll take care of that part. My time belongs to Him. It don't belong to me. So when we face times and struggles and tribulations and hard times, so often we try to find a way out of it, or how we're going to fix it, or what we're going to do. We make plans. That belongs to the Lord. And you need to understand that your time here is not up to you. Your time here is fully 100% belongs to Him. And it's a lesson I learned that it says, it's not my time, it's His time. He may take me tomorrow. And that's His right and His will. But I need to be doing His work. I need to be like Abraham. Get up and go when He tells me. I don't know what tomorrow may bring or what the journey. Abraham never knew what that was. I need to realize a couple things, just like Abraham. I got a promised land coming. But I got work to do before then. This world is not our home. We should not live in it like it is our home. We should be here for a purpose and a reason. We need to understand that. It's a lesson that I learned that the good Lord gave me 5 years I wasn't even expecting. To be honest. Nobody knew that. Nobody knew my feelings on that. And I'll tell you, because the Lord put it in my heart this week. I didn't think I'd be here today. But the Lord has said, no changes. Here's 5 years ago scan. Here's today's scan. No changes. Quit worrying about that. Do the work of the Lord. You know, we sing a song. I love this song. I always love this song. But see if you recognize it while I read the words to you. For this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasure lays up somewhere beyond the blues. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They all are expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I must onward go. I know He'll take me through and through. I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I have loved ones, a loving Savior up in glory land. I don't expect to stop until I with Him stand. He's waiting now for me in heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just up in glory land we all live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. And their song of sweet test praises back from heaven, sure, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. You've heard me say it before. Do you feel comfortable? Do you feel at home where you're at? Maybe you ought not to. Are you making plans like I did for the last 5 years? Maybe you not shouldn't. Maybe you should be doing what the Lord has planned for you. You know what my prayer was to him when I talked to him? I'll share this with you. It's a personal conversation, but I don't mind sharing it. Lord, just show me. I don't know what tomorrow has. I don't know what you need from me, but just show me. Maybe we need to pray that to the Lord on a daily basis when we get up in the morning. I don't know what today holds, Lord, but it belongs to you, and just show me your way. Because it's obvious that I've been doing my own thing for the last 5 years. I may be making my own plans. You want to make sure your plans change? Just make them, because the Lord will change them for you. Isn't that not the truth? I had to tell the Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me for making my own plans for the last 5 years. But it was one of those moments where he says, look, we need to be preparing for the Lord. And that's what Jesus was trying to tell the disciples. My time is running out. I'll be gone and then you'll have to do this. Jesus has already left, so it's now up to us to do his work. And that's why he was getting to that point. All right. How can we know the way? Ask him that. Which you got to think about it. The disciples are just like us. You know, let's go back to what Thomas was saying, said to Jesus earlier. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus told him in John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm the way. This is what our whole study has been about. It's been about Jesus learning his way. You know, Jesus is the truth, the way, and the light. You want to know how to get to heaven? All I can tell you is pull out your GPS. Your GPS. God's plan for salvation. That is Jesus, 100%. He's been preparing for Jesus' coming. He's been preparing the day throughout Jesus' life. And our whole focus in everything we do is to be more like Jesus. You want to know the way? How to get to where Jesus is? Just pull out your GPS. It's right here. God's plan for salvation. That's what Jesus is. That's what we need to understand. He tells us in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, Jesus Christ, and there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. He is the only way. And that's what he was trying to tell his disciples. I'm the way. That's what I've been telling you. Follow my examples. Do what I do, and you will find the way. And what did he tell him earlier? He told him earlier back in there, know the way to the place where I am going. Excuse me. He said, I'll be back for you. I'll be back for you. I'll be coming back for you. And 1 John 5, verse 20 tells us this, and we know the Son of God has come and given us understanding that we may know him who is the truth, and we are in him who is the truth, is his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the truth, God and eternal life. There's only one way to get eternal life, and that's through Christ Jesus. So everything that we teach, everything that we sell, we should be teaching about Jesus, those opportunities. We had a great gospel meeting, did we not? And the whole perspective was of how to make it more attractive. I don't think of anything more attractive than Jesus. So if we focus on him
and the way he lived and how he took care of others, people should be driven in if they truly understand what the gift of knowing Christ Jesus. We just read it a moment ago. We'll read it again and go into verse 7. I am the way, the truth, and the light. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will also know my Father. From now on, you know him and have seen him. You want to know the Father? You want to know God? Know Jesus. This is what this study has been all about that we've been focusing on. You know, but those disciples before I flip that slide are just like us. Yeah, he can say all that and say, we can look back at it and say, why didn't they not understand? We the same way. We still want another answer. All right. Poor Philip says this. Show me the Father. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us. He said, Philip goes, all right, just show me the Father. Once I see him, I'll be good. No, you won't. There will be something else that you won't satisfy you. But what did Jesus tell him? Jesus told him, I have been with you all this time, Philip. He's like, I've been with you all this time. And you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. And how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. You know, this stuck out to me too, this verse here, especially the last. The words that I say unto you, I do not speak of my own. When Jesus Christ himself has the ability to say, these are my Father's words. He didn't take credit for it. He didn't take glory for it. He gave all glory to his Father. You know, I grew up in the church, the Churches of Christ, and some of the things that I think we struggled as a church is we would say, we're the church. We're the right church. We're the one. We are the one. And that a lot of times we are that approach growing up. Oh, you're in the right church because the Church of Christ is the one. No, Christ is the one. It has nothing to do with us as a congregation and it has nothing to do with me as an individual, but I grew up that way. The church has nothing to do with it. Christ is the one that has nothing to do with it. If Christ literally glorified his Father and said, these are not my words, these are his words, that's the approach that we need to have. When we teach and preach the gospel, and tell them, these are God's words. He's the one that needs to be glorified. You know, we started on the gospel meeting, we talked about Moses striking the rock. And there was consequences on it. Richard did a wonderful job this past week, and I got another thing to add to you that I pulled from his lessons here in just a few minutes. But Moses, I can imagine, and we did that as a church for many years. I don't think we do it as much as now, but we can if we don't watch out. Moses took credit by striking that rock. And then all he had to do, the Lord told him to speak to the rock. What words were he getting ready to say? Most likely he said, because of the Father, he's going to bring you water. But Moses was so frustrated with his people that he struck the rock like he was the one that had the power. And sometimes as Christians, we feel that we get up on our stage. That's why I like being down there. And saying, you need to follow what I'm telling you. We get on our stool and preach to people. When we look and notice when Jesus stepped down and gave to the people who were in need, the vulnerable, the poor, the tax collectors. He healed the sick.
He deal with a leopard, which the priest would never do that. And we need to make sure that we are not doing that as Christians. That we are showing Christ in us. He was telling Philip, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But remember, the words are not my words, they're His words. And when we preach and teach, you've got to realize and understand what I'm speaking to you today is nothing about me. It's all about Christ Jesus, our Son, the Son of God, our Savior, that made all of this possible. Have you ever asked yourself, ask God, why me? It may, why me, Lord? Why do I got to suffer this? That's the one we normally ask. But we ask the Lord, why me? Why'd you pick me to do this work? You know, I'll go back to my story just a little bit. Is my mentality for the last 5 years was getting things ready. And I often ask me, why me? Why do you pick me? Because they ask the same thing. John 14, verse 21 tells us this. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too love you, them, and show myself to them. By following His will and doing what He expects from us, He loves us. And because we do that, His Father loves us. I can't imagine what heaven's going to be like that day, but to be in the presence of God. What a thing that's going to be one day. To be in the presence of God. Jesus replied, and who loves me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and He will come and make our home with each of them. That's just a wonderful thought to be thinking about. John 24 tells us this. He who does not love me does not keep my word. The word which is you've heard isn't mine, but the Father has sent me. He who does not love me does not keep my commandments. The words which you have heard isn't mine, but the Father who sent me. Once again, he gives credit to God. Listen to what I'm telling you. I can just imagine Jesus getting desperate. My time is running out with you personally. You need to understand every bit of it. My lesson is getting ready to run out. And we only got two more Sundays. But we need to understand it's all about Jesus. You know, Richard had a Monday night, awesome lesson. Do y'all remember what he was talking about on Monday night? God's love for the outers, the inners, and the vulnerables. Y'all remember that? For those who are here? God loves them all. And when he talked about that, that stuck in my head all day Tuesday. And I was going over my lesson. I went, wow. You know, this is a verse that we see it everywhere. We see it at football games, sporting events, and we say it. John 3:16. We tell people, just John 3:16. For God so loved the world. But are we truly listening to what he has to say in John 3:16 and 17? Well, listen to this for a second. Let me turn back over there. I want to turn to make sure that I get it all for you, because I think this is one of those aha moments for me anyway. John 3:16. All right. For God so loved the world. Isn't it the outers? For God so loved the world. He cares for everybody, the outers. So shouldn't we? That he gave his only son,
that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have the eternal life. Whosoever shall believe in him. Isn't that the inner us? Because we believe. That whosoever believes in him shall have eternal life. But listen to this. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. You know, if you need saving, ain't you vulnerable? And the thing is, God loves the outers, the inners, and the vulnerables. But the one thing we need to realize, we're all been vulnerable. So it should take our perspective on the way we look at the world totally different. We should be looking at everybody who walks by. Because, you know, sometimes I notice out of the corner of my eye, people walking down this street. They're out there and they're not in here. That's a precious soul that's walking down that street. We should take that in consideration when we talk about people. When we are interacting with people, look at them at who they truly are. They're a child of God. They're in one or two positions, or three, or maybe two of them at the same time. They're the outers, or they're the inners, or they're even the outers and vulnerables, or the inners and vulnerables. They're in two spots. And what did God think was so important that he needed to do that he sent his only, one and only Son into the world to die for them? So the way we should look at people, we need to look through the eyes of Jesus. We'd never give up on anybody. We talked about that in the class this morning, how Jesus didn't give up on anybody. And we need to be the same way. Why is that? 1 John 4:8 tells us, whoever does not love does not know God. Why? Because God is love. It's his nature. That's who he is. That's how he's built. That's how he's constructed. He's nothing but love. Love for us. Love for those who are out there. He don't want to see anybody lost. Now, Satan is the totally opposite. He's the beginning of this. Who does not love does not know God. You want to know why you? Why does he want you? It's simple. The whole lesson is simple. It's that love story that we keep talking about, that you're a part of, that you're in. God is love. And that's what we need to understand. And we understand that God is love, and we're supposed to imitate. If you want to imitate God, you need to be love. You want to reflect God to the people so they can see God in you, Christ in you. You got to be love. You got to be love for one another. You know, that's easier said than done, because when people do you wrong, what's the hardest thing to do? Is to forgive. Especially your brothers and sisters. Man, they shouldn't have done me that way. That was my own brother and sister that done me that way. Family members, even church members. Those are the ones that hurt you the most. No, I ain't going to forgive them. What if God didn't forgive us? How we treat others all reflects on how much they see Jesus in us. Some days I show Jesus more than I do others. But I should be getting up every morning with the mentality and the thought that I don't know what you have planned for me, but this is your day, not my day. Quit planning out your day. In other words, you got to live. You got to get up and go to work and stuff like that. But don't be so planning that turn it into your day where I got to get this done and I got to get this done. Let the Lord show you. Be listening, watching out for those opportunities that we keep talking about. Those chances to make a difference in people's lives. It may be a simple moment at the grocery store, or somebody on the side of the road, or somebody at work that you can make a difference in.
look for those opportunities. Because Jesus spent his whole life from the time he did his ministry until the day he died was doing for others.
He didn't worry about where he slept, what he ate, or any of that, because he knew his Father took care of that. Quit being busy in your life. Stop being busy in God's life. It's a whole lot easier to say than do. I'm there. But that's what we need to work towards. If we stumble and fall, guess what? God is love. And he lets us get up and walk and change and get it right. As it was said in the prayer earlier, James, let's get it right. That's what we have those opportunities. The Lord doesn't turn his back on us. We turn it on him. We have it every day, as long as we're breathing, that chance to get it right. So, I don't know where you're at this morning. I know where I was at this week. I'm glad I was given the opportunity to share it to you this week. I know where I was at, and I saw a big change that I need to make. But you have a chance to get it right. If there's anything you're struggling with, you can come up here right now, and we'll give it to the church and let them pray. And prayers of a righteous man avail as much. There's a lot of good people in here, so we can avail as much. So if there's anything that we can do for you now, why don't you come now as we stand and sing.